What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Improved, definitely improved. He was good last year. I mean, it's hard to be good as a rookie. Very few are. He was one of the, what I thought was one of the few that I've been around that I just, you know, could qualify as good as rookie year. And obviously they made the playoffs last year. And then what he's been able to do this year and the way that they've developed him. And, you know, Coach Payton's got a history of doing that with quarterbacks. So, you know, he's definitely playing high-level football.
Sean McDermott on Bo Nix, younger than me. Which means, of course, he's younger than you, Bo Nix.
Not Sean Payton.
Sean Payton is, oh, I want to guess, between us.
You don't think he's older than me? I think he's older than me. I'm 60. I'm going to guess Payton is 63.
That visor is an attempt to make him look younger
than
he is?
Yes, that's the whole thing. That's why
62!
That's why everyone has a problem with you wearing the visors.
Right. Can't wear shorts. Can't wear a visor. I'm a jerk. And what am I trying to hide? What am I trying to prove? I mean, I only say my age on the show pretty much every week. 62! Good job. You win. Patrick Sean Payton. Sorry, Christopher Parker Sean Payton. I misread it. That's his name.
Are there any Christopher Parkers hiding on the Denver roster? We're counting on you.
Somebody out there could dig that up. Parker Washington did have a good game.
Oh, he definitely did.
And he left with a head injury, but guess what? Of course he came back.
He not only left with a head. Did you see him?
I did. Like, I tweeted it. Nobody else was talking about it.
He fell down.
He fell down, and he did this weird sort of jog move,
yeah.
And then he stayed in.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things are not always linear, right?
I mean, That's right. I mean, you could feel it in the moment and then clear the protocol and, you know, whatever.
But it was very strange looking.
Yeah.
When it happened.
It looked a little scary. Yeah.
Like, what is this? Why is he down?
Live, it was one of those things. I feel like the camera was moving away from him as he fell, but there was no one around him. And you could see him sort of wobbling, and then the camera moved back to where the ball was or the pile or I don't know what. But, yeah, I saw replays later, like, damn, that looked pretty serious.
And the Jaguars didn't do what the Bills always do when this happens, is to pick somebody up immediately so there is not this moment where, like,
No one was around him. He was far enough away from the play. Like, Bean Bishop hit heads, I think is what happened. And the play was a few yards upfield from where he was. And so his teammates were around where the ball was, I think. And he was sort of separate.
We saw it.
Yeah. It's hard to miss.
Nobody on the Jaguars saw it. We saw it.
Well, the concussion spotter must have saw it because they did evaluate him for a head injury.
Not right away. Like, that's what's the point of that person?
Did he stay in the game right then? After that? Wow, I didn't realize that.
A few plays, I think.
I didn't realize that.
It wasn't until the next series, because I tweeted it, like, here's what Washington did. And then later, CBS announced that he was being evaluated for a concussion. And I said, well, the broadcast didn't say anything. And people are like, wrong. Yes, they did. Like, not for several minutes.
Right.
So it wasn't right away. Anyway, they're done.
Now we've got that straight.
Jack is with us. Hello, Jack.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. You're welcome.
Yeah, so you guys were talking about historical matchups. And a couple weeks ago, before the last game at the stadium, I did a whole list of every single game that I've been to. So to get to the point, my first ever game was 2011. It was the Christmas Eve game, Bills-Broncos. Tim Tebow, I think, threw three or four interceptions. Leotis McKelvin had a punt return touchdown. Just an awesome experience that I had there at the Ralph. But then kind of transitioning into that, I wanted to know your guys' thoughts on the punt game, or punt return game, sorry. I feel like we've kind of just ignored it in recent years. You know, we used to have like Deontay Hardy and Isaiah McKenzie kind of returning, but I'm just sure, I feel like we're kind of losing some value by just, letting the ball bounce or fair catching it. But I'll hang up and let you know, or hear your thoughts.
Well, they really haven't had to, I don't think about it a lot, but they've not really had a threat there. And I mean, as much Deonte Hardy helped win them the division when he was here. He had a huge punt return against Miami. So it's not like it's a non-factor, but I don't mind that they don't devote a roster. They had been. Brandon Codrington was this. He was a return specialist. And for whatever reason, they lost faith in that idea, lost faith in him, and have pretty much gone to, I mean, they're not exactly at punt catcher, but they trust Shakir to field the ball. And, you know, he's shifty enough in the open field, but he's not come close to breaking anything in the punt return game. So it's sort of a non-entity, really, on the Bills, I think. We'll see. Maybe if Hardman gets activated, brought up to the roster, maybe they try that, because that's a different sort of returner. I don't know how, you know, the one game he got, he fielded two and flubbed one. And that was the end of that. And he got hurt, and they never really tried it out again. So I don't know if they'll throw him in there in a playoff game. My guess is they wouldn't. It would still be Shakir, even if Hardman's on the roster.
I have no take on this. I don't understand why teams ever field punts anymore. Just let it bounce. The risk of a return, or the reward of a return versus the risk of a fumble or a penalty, I'll just pass. I don't need anybody back there. If I want to block a punt, I'll do, this is Kevin Kelly, the Arkansas coach. I'll just rush everybody. Nobody ever touches a punt against me. Or when you're punting to me, I'll just let you kick it as far as you want. Tom is next. Hi, Tom.
Good point, Mike. How you guys doing? After Dante Hall and the Chiefs being a punt returner with a, he was like the Pac-Man out there. I mean, there's no guys left out there that do that type of stuff. I don't see it, anyways. A couple points here. I was listening to Denver stations this morning, and
why? Why, Tom? It's an obsession. Why would you do that?
Well, I'm obsessed.
What's the fun of that?
Accurate. Just to hear what they had to say, but they do not want to. They did not want to play the Bills.
Who didn't? The hosts.
The Broncos, according to the hosts, they wanted to play San Diego, obviously, and the thing that made me start to think was. You got Josh Allen here, right? If I just picture the Bills going into a stadium and another team, and you're playing against Josh, good freaking luck, you know? I mean, I'd be scared to hell to play him, and that's the way the feeling is, I think, around the league with a lot of these teams. And
do you think Jacksonville was scared?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
I think every team, that, no.
Did you watch the game? I mean, did they play like they were afraid of him? I mean, they couldn't win. They didn't win. Who are we talking about? Are we talking about radio people? Are we talking about fans? Or are we talking about players? Players are not scared. Players are going to love it. Like the Denver Broncos defensive players, they have numerous stars. This is great for them. Like this is what a game, what a moment.
Mike, I think it's about the fans, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, that's very different.
Yeah, it is. And that's the way I'm looking at it. But, but yeah, it was really interesting listening to them. They really wanted San Diego, and they're bummed to be playing against.
Well, sure. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if you're the one seed, here's your opportunity. You should get to choose who you play. That's had its moment this week and even last week.
Who would Denver pick?
Right. There's no way they would pick the Bills out of the pile. I don't think unless I don't think they would.
That's close though.
I think I would want to avoid that quarterback. But yeah, Houston's got the defense, and you know there's downsides to any matchup. But
I think a team like Denver. So Houston is scary in its own way. They played Houston, Denver, and it was close. New England is good. If this is hypothetical, they could pick from any of the three. They can't pick like the Bears,
a team that's out. Yeah, right. They can't pick out. They can't pick the Chargers. Right?
They can't pick the Los Angeles Chargers. So I don't know. I feel the same way as I did last week. And Allen gave us one more game to remember forever. This will not be a game we remember forever if they lose here this week, because it'll just be another wild card game where they didn't play Mason Rudolph, I guess, but they, you know,
right.
Whatever. They broke the streak of years where they hadn't won a playoff game on the road. He has been so good, and he seems indestructible. I'm Denver. Bring it on. I think if I'm Allen, bring it on.
Sure.
But if I'm Denver, like, this is my stock and trade. Like, getting home and I'm the home team in this game. I want this. I don't know. Like, maybe I would pick the Texans, I guess, if I were picking from the three. Could I pick the Texans? Maybe I would do that. But I'm no way, if I'm the Broncos, am I, like, scared?
Yeah, I don't think players, and I don't know. I think Tom tried to clarify there. I don't think whatever shows he's listening to were saying that the hosts were saying the Broncos players are afraid.
But who cares anyway?
But as a fan, fans, of course. Fans want the easy. What did we do last week? For me, anyway, Jacksonville's the hardest matchup. That's not what I wanted. That's not ideal. I don't know that that meant I was scared of them. I tried to make sure. And probably, I'm not saying I don't think the Bills can win. I just think if I got to pick, this is the least favorable matchup. And I would totally understand if a Bronco fan, if their choices were the Bills. By the time the Chargers and Patriots were playing, their choices were the Bills or the Chargers. Of course, you'd rather play the Chargers. They can't block anybody. They scored 6 points or whatever they did. Like, of course, you'd rather have played them. Anybody would have rather played them.
I know, totally. Like, what is this to say? All right, have you been to Denver?
Yes. Yes, just last
Red
spring.
Rocks. You went to Red Rocks.
Yeah. So, yeah, Denver. I mean, we Golden is about 40 minutes outside of town. That's where we stayed. I have not spent time in Denver. I've driven from the airport to Golden twice because we stayed in Golden both times we flew out there. One time we flew out there to visit Owen when he was in Albuquerque playing junior hockey, and we flew to Denver and drove to Albuquerque.
That's a drive.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours. We split it up.
4 hours is all?
Yeah.
From Denver to Albuquerque? Oh, wow.
I think.
I've never been to New Mexico, so that.
4.5, 5.
I would have guessed like 10.
Yeah, no, it's like half a day. Or, like, you know, whatever. If a day's drive is 8 hours, it's about half that. Yeah, not bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it. I should do that.
Yeah. I highly suggest. It's a beautiful. We didn't. Coming back.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
When we had to leave Albuquerque to get back to Denver, we took the interstate, I-40, I think it is. But going from Golden to Albuquerque, we went through the mountains the whole time. We just like took, you know, two-lane roads, and it was
one of
the greatest drives of my life.
Denver to Albuquerque is 4 hours? All right, 620.
Yeah,
Google says 620.
Right.
I've ridden with you, though.
620.
It's still less than I would have guessed.
620 for me is 5.5.
Oh, well. Oof.
So.
And you go through Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We stopped for lunch in Santa Fe.
You go through Las Vegas, New Mexico, apparently.
I don't remember that.
There's a Las Vegas, New Mexico. Garden of the Gods. I've been there. Garden of the Gods, Pikes Peak, been to Coors Field, loved Coors Field, did not drive in or out of Denver. Remember last year, two years ago, flying to Seattle with my family, we went through Denver, and that was my call. I'm very particular when it comes to like flights, and I didn't want to go through Charlotte or some place where like I wanted direct line.
Right.
I wanted it to make sense.
Right. You want to go south and then
so,
west. Right.
Buffalo to Denver, super clear, fun, gentle, fine flight. And when you fly into Denver from here, as some of you listening are probably about to do in a few days, you don't really get to the city at all. You're just
way out.
Yeah. And you're not even into the mountains. You don't see the city, the skyline, anything. You're not even really there yet. So then, you know, oh, this is the best. This is exactly what I drew up. Here we are in the Denver airport. And now it's off to Seattle. And we get on the plane to Seattle. And it's like, I don't know anything about flying a plane, but like right up through the mountains, and it's a washing machine. Like in the first half an hour or 20 minutes of that flight are like, I hope we don't crash into a mountain. They know not to do that, right?
I think they try to avoid that.
They have windows up there,
yeah.
And they have maps and radar.
Yeah.
But like flying into Denver from the east was very different than flying out to the west.
I think I'm doing that in April because we're going to Montana.
Okay.
Me and my wife are going to Montana, and I think we're flying to Denver on the way out.
It's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a great city. Coors Field. I just went there the one time, and I still I can picture it. And the Rockies are never good. It's never about that. But just like sitting in right field looking to the scoreboard above left field and then the mountains behind that, it's unique. I mean, where else are you going to get that? So really cool. Well, good for you, anybody out there who's going to this game. Enjoy. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Speaking of Denver, Benjamin Albright from Denver will join us coming up at 4. Sal Capaccio at 5. The Sabres home to Philadelphia tonight. Pregame at 6:30 for a 7:30 game. This is
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.